I couldn't stop and process the bite on my arm. The artery was still open, and I began to hear a chorus of growls and hisses coming from within. For the first time in my life, I felt true, unadulterated fear. The kind of fear that envelops your body like a lead blanket. I turned and ran. I ran until my legs almost gave out. Finally, I reached the groundskeeper's building. I pulled the door open and threw myself inside. I went to work securing the door with the deadbolt and the large barrel bolt locks. I took a step back and caught my breath. I don't know how I managed to survive the ordeal, but I counted my blessings before turning my attention to my injuries. I walked to the bathroom and retrieved the emergency first aid kit I had bought for such an occasion. The large metal square contained two large unopened bottles of alcohol and hydrogen peroxide, a suture kit, a bottle of painkillers, and several packets of varying bandages and gauze wraps. I went to work on the first bite, wincing in pain as I emptied a quart bottle of the alcohol into the wound. I followed with the peroxide next, gagging as the wound began to bubble as the liquid went to work killing the bacteria. I wrapped the bite in gauze next, tight enough to cut off the circulation. I popped the painkiller and took off my shirt, focusing my attention on the long slice in my chest. I braced myself as I emptied almost all of the alcohol into the wound. It took every ounce of strength I had left not to scream at the pain. I took a breath and repeated the process with the peroxide. I knew I couldn't wrap my entire chest with the gauze I had on hand, and the wound was too deep to be left as it is. I swallowed hard, eyeing the suture kit. I had never done something like this before, let alone on myself. Luckily, the kit came with instructions on how to sew myself up. I threaded the needle and popped another painkiller before using the driver to force the needle through my skin. I pulled the needle through and used the tissue forceps to manipulate the wound, moving the edges of flesh closer together to close up the wound. I repeated the process until I was more or less satisfied with my work. It would leave a hideous scar, but at least I wouldn't bleed out in my sleep. The only other wound that required immediate attention was on my forehead, caused by the corpse that pistol whipped me. I could feel the cut with my fingers. It was deep, but I refused to torture myself any further with the suture kit. I decided to clean it with the alcohol and peroxide and close it with the butterfly bandages in the first aid kit. I popped another painkiller and tried to sleep. I dreamt of the creatures in the osiery. I had never seen one before except for the shadow of the one that dragged the corpses away. I dreamt of skinless humanoids, claw-handed abominations, and spiders with human heads. I woke up in a cold sweat to the sound of a loud and powerful thumping on the front door. I walked over to the door, gun at the ready, but when I saw glorious sunlight through the cracks in the newspaper over the windows, I relaxed myself. I unlocked the door and slowly pulled it open, coming face to face with one of the priests on the other side. He met me with a scowl and hissed.
My son, do you have any idea what time it is? You've wasted half the day already. There's much to do.
I'm sorry, I must have overslept.
Not good enough. Get dressed. We require 5 graves be dug by the end of the day.
Yes, sir. The priest flashed me with a smile, revealing rows of yellow and jagged teeth before turning and walking back to the church. I hated the priest with a passion. I quickly got dressed and made my way to the supply shed while lighting a cigarette. I retrieved a shovel and a pickaxe and got to work. The entire time, my body felt like it was going to fall apart. My injuries from the night before started to take their toll. Part of me felt lazy. I could dig the graves 4 feet deep, but I always opted for 6 given the body's tendency to exhume themselves. I had just finished digging the graves when I began to smell the overwhelming scent of rot in the air. I pulled myself out of the grave and took a look around. I could see the osiery in the distance. The door was still wide open. I could feel something watching me from within. Sooner or later, I would have to go take care of that door. I finished preparations on the graves for the upcoming funerals and made my way back to the groundskeeper's building to prepare myself for the night. I doubled up on clothing to create a rudimentary padding should I find myself on the receiving end of another undead beatdown. Before I headed back out, I went to the bedroom and retrieved my laptop. I needed more firepower if I was going to take care of the osiery doors. I powered on the laptop and googled where the nearest Cabela's was. It was close enough and it opened at 9 in the morning. From there I could pick out something with enough stopping power to deal with the things in the old bone house. Suddenly I heard the door being pushed open. I dropped everything and went for my gun. I grabbed my revolver and made my way out of the bedroom to find a maggot sitting in the middle of the room. This was no ordinary maggot, though. It was about 3 to 4 feet long and was flailing wildly back and forth. Something else had to have been there. That thing couldn't have made it all the way in here from wherever it came from. I leveled the gun and aimed at where I assumed the maggot's head would be and fired. Miss. Suddenly, the monstrous maggot began to squeak before sprouting 8 bone-like appendages. I stumbled backwards, unsure of what I was looking at. The maggot then scurried across the floor towards me. I fired another 2 rounds at the thing before diving out of the way of the spiderworm's path. I sprang to my feet, turning to face the monstrosity, but before I could react, the thing had leapt through the air, latching onto my chest. I winced as the legs tore into my skin. I tried to pull the creature off me, but its grip was too strong. Before I knew it, the head of the maggot was split open, revealing rows of razor-sharp teeth. I pulled back, trying to gain distance from the maggot's maw, but it was no good. I jabbed the creature in the side with the barrel of my revolver and pulled the trigger rapidly, depositing the final 3 rounds of the gun into the creature's side. The spider maggot fell to the floor, its body lifeless. I stomped on the thing about 6 times before I felt satisfied. I decided to bury it. Stepping over the creature, I made my way to the door before stopping in my tracks. I could see it. The beast in the darkness. Its eyes glowing like hot coals in the night. It was huge. Its body reminiscent of a champion bodybuilder. We stared at each other for a while before it turned and retreated into the osiery. After burying the maggot, I barricaded myself in the groundskeeper's building. Whatever was in the osiery was toying with me. I no longer felt safe in the groundskeeper's building, and I felt insignificant like an ant in a world of children with magnifying glasses. When the sun rose, I decided it was time to up my firepower. I made my way through the cemetery into the parking lot. The priest pulled onto the property in their van as I reached my truck. I paid them no mind, ignoring their prying eyes as I pulled out and headed to the Cabela's. During my drive, I found myself pulling over a handful of times to vomit. The stress and anxiety started to take their toll. After pulling into the parking lot, I composed myself and headed inside. I decided on a black Winchester Defender, 12 gauge, a pump action that held 6 rounds. I wish I could have chosen something with a larger capacity, but it was all I could afford on the budget I had. I grabbed 2 boxes of shells and another box of bullets for the revolver. I love Arizona. No waiting periods on purchasing a gun. After piling everything into the truck, I made my way to the liquor store to pick up a few bottles of vodka and Everclear. I ended up buying 10 bottles of each. The clerk was very inquisitive during the transaction.
So, you having a party tonight?
No.
Oh, wait. You're the freak that works at the graveyard, right? Planning on partying with the dead, huh?
I stared at him for a moment before swiping my card, grabbing my stuff and leaving. By the time I got back to the cemetery, it was almost 5 in the evening. I carried everything back to the groundskeeper's building and got to work. I unboxed the shotgun, loaded it, and attached the sling. I could keep it strapped to my shoulder rather than carry it around all night. After that, I loaded the Python with new bullets and stuck it in its holster. Finally, the liquor. I opened 1 bottle and downed 1/2 of it before converting 2 of them into Molotov cocktails. I strapped the shotgun around my shoulder and attached the revolver holster to my hip before grabbing the Molotovs and shoving 1 in each of my back pockets. I headed out the door to the orgy before coming across a group of corpses headed straight for me. There were 5 of them. I pulled the revolver and fired. One ducked to the left while the others kept their path. I reholstered the gun and pulled out one of the Molotovs. I lit the bottle and tossed it at the group's feet. I stepped back and watched as the corpses burned. 3 of them fell over and that was that. But the other 2 didn't give up so easily. The burning corpses continued towards me. I pulled the gun again and fired. Even when lit ablaze, the 2 smart ones were quick on their feet. They ducked out of the way, and as they got closer, I could see the source of their intelligence. I could see 8 pairs of bony legs stuck in their sides. The maggots. They must have burrowed into their spines, attaching themselves to the brainstem piloting them. I retreated backwards, putting space between me and the looming danger. If I couldn't get a shot in, I could wait it out. Let them burn themselves out, literally. After about a minute of evading, the 2 corpses finally fell over, lifeless. I put a bullet in each of their brains, ensuring that they won't get back up. I continued towards the osiery, pulling the shotgun from my shoulder. I racked the slide and pushed on. When I finally reached the bone house, I froze. I couldn't do it. I was too scared. I had to fight my own instinct to get this close. I swallowed and moved closer. I could hear wet, squelching noises from within. I stuck my head around the doorway and saw inside. Rows of bones lining the walls. I could make out some sort of pit in the center of the room. After about 20 seconds, I saw 10 pairs of bright red eyes in the darkness. I panicked, pulling the second Molotov from my back pocket. I lit the bottle and threw it through the doorway. I could hear ear-shattering roars from inside. I acted fast, pulling the heavy stone door closed. The noises persisted. I fell backwards and caught my breath. My heart felt like it was going to explode. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to rest. I could hear scratching on the other side of the stone door. I got up and ran for the groundskeeper's building, looking over my shoulder almost the entire way there. When I got back inside, I slammed the door shut, made my way over to the kitchen counter and downed the rest of the opened bottle of vodka. Even after closing the osiery doors, I didn't feel better. There were more of those monsters than I thought. That, coupled with the spider maggots and super corpses, it was only a matter of time before the inevitable anxiety attack. I fell in on myself, tears flowing from my eyes. I struggled to breathe but couldn't find my breath. I clutched at my chest, it felt like my heart was giving out. I stood like that for about an hour. When I finally came to my senses, I tried to sleep. The next day, things went the smoothest they had ever gone. The priests were surprisingly nice to me, even after finding the large patch of burnt dead grass in the rows of graves. Even during the night, I didn't see any corpses, maggots, or monsters. Things felt calm. Like the calm before a terrible storm. Little did I know, that storm was closer than I thought.